And now, beaming and streaming to you live from the FCCFreeRadio.com flagship Studio 1A in downtown San Francisco, California, this is Geekline 415. With his cast of characters, Tin Knocker, Trunk Monkey, and me, Dungeon Master, with Tally in the sound booth, and good cop, bad cop aficionado, and resident cranky pants red shirt. Here's the man who emailed the NSA and asked for access to a backup copy of his hard drive. Your host for Geekline 415, Sundance. Tonight on Geekline 415, we're talking geek movies, and joining us on the live line from New Orleans, Louisiana, community manager and lead Pathfinder developer from Savage Mojo, George Loki Williams.
Right on. So what do we got going on tonight, Trunk Monkey?
All right. What's up, geeks and geekettes? Welcome to Geekline 415. We are a weekly radio show on FCC Free Radio who talk all things geek, from comics to toys. TK?
Yeah?
I know this might be a dumb question, but you watch a lot of movies, don't you?
Oh, of course.
Would you consider some of those movies to be kind of geeky movies?
Actually, quite a few, probably.
What about you, DM? Do you watch a lot of geeky movies?
As often as possible.
Have either of you ever recommended some of those geeky movies to your friends?
Constantly.
Yes.
Well, that's exactly what we'll be talking about tonight. Movies that we think all geeks should watch, revisited. Joining us on that topic tonight will be Loki, the community manager and lead Pathfinder developer from Savage Mojo. Later, we'll be talking about our experiences from Conquest Avalon in Sacramento.
Hey, Loki. Thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure to come and pollute some of the Bay Area airwaves with my fever grantings.
TK, why don't you start with a movie you think all geeks should watch?
All right, one movie I loved. It's a pretty geeky movie, and that would be Buckaroo Banzai.
Across the fifth dimension.
Eighth dimension.
That's right. Eighth dimension.
You like that one, Loki?
I saw that one opening day, and I have watched it far too many times on Midnight Movies and on my own Blu-ray copy ever since.
Yeah, I hear that.
One of my all-time favorites.
Oh, my.
Just a great movie. I mean, it's got a good cast of characters with Peter Weller's Buckaroo Banzai and quite a few people in it, you know. Just if anybody doesn't know anything about the movie, it's about these aliens. They look kind of like Rastafarian, you know. And all their names are John Big Booty or John Smallberries.
Yep.
Okay, that sounds pretty silly, huh?
What year was that?
That was in the middle 80s, because I was still in high school when it hit. So it couldn't have been any later than 85.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it had to have been like 85, I was going to say.
Yeah, it must have been. I don't remember the year, but that, yeah.
Pretty close, actually. It was 84.
84?
84, 84. Okay.
Good call.
It's nice to have computers to tell us what's up, right?
Yep. Just
look it up.
No, I did that by my memory. You didn't know?
Okay. Were you alive in 84?
Hey, don't start making me feel old there, guys.
Fair enough. So I'll give you guys one. And I'm going to give this to you guys. So I thought about this one, and Sundance brought up to me, hey, is this really a geek movie? But how many times have we – I'm going to play a clip for you. How many times have we sat around the table with this guy?
Smokey, this is not Nom. This is bowling. There are rules.
Hey, Walter, come on. It's just, hey, man, it's Smokey. So his toe slipped over a little, you know? It's just a game, man.
This is a league game. This determines who enters the next round robin. Am I wrong?
Over the line!
The Big Lebowski, right? Come on. Tell me that's not a geek movie. We've all sat around the table.
I would call
that
a geek crossover film.
Okay, crossover. Okay.
I would, yeah, that it's all, it almost borders lines on hipster more than a geek on that one.
I don't know. I thought with the guy, you know, there are rules. That's, we've all been around the table with that guy, right? So.
Jesus.
You said it, man. Nobody fucks with the Jesus.
So, you know, these are the guys we've all played with, right? So I thought that it really still fit to me today. I still watch that movie every time it's on. And I'll give you one more. Here's my favorite line from the entire movie.
I hate the fucking Eagles, man.
He is just salty about the damn Eagles. So, yeah, that I came up with the Big Lebowski. Logie, what did you have for great movies?
Well, I had a couple on my list, and coming up with Buckaroo Banzai, you've already crossed one of those off.
Oh, but, nice.
You know. Let's see if you guys can identify the movie from one of the most well-known quotes. I'm here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of bubble gum.
Of bubble gum. Oh, yeah.
The Let movie Mr. is They Roddy Live, one of the all-time greats.
Yep, They Live.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
We were just talking about that earlier. Yeah, that was Roddy Piper, and what was the black guy's name? I can't remember his name. He's been in a lot of movies.
Oh, I have a horrible memory for actors' names, particularly obscure ones, so don't ask me.
But yeah, it was definitely a very, very geeky movie.
Well, it's definitely a good one to pop in and watch periodically, especially if you work in communications or advertising.
Yes, absolutely, with all the subliminal. Yeah,
for those who haven't seen it, what the big premise of the movie is, the alien invasion has already happened, and there's subliminals in everything that are basically keeping the population in line. Really just wonderfully demented piece of work.
Very much so. And that Roddy Piper didn't do a lot of movies. Maybe a couple at most.
What else did he do?
You know, I don't know of another one he's done. Doesn't mean he hasn't, but that's the only thing I've ever seen him in.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing him in anything else.
I remember in one movie where he had something to do with, I think it was called Tag Team, I want to say it was. That was the only other one where he was a somewhat...
That's wrestling, dude!
No, it was... it is wrestling, but there was actually a movie he was a wrestler in a movie.
Oh, I see. No, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, what typecasting.
Sundance, what do you got?
All right, as far as geek movies, first one, I'll mess with you guys a little bit. Kung Fu Hustle. All
right! Oh, classic. Wonderful stuff. Nice. Stephen Chow, baby.
There you go, nice. Funny thing about that movie is it wasn't what I expected. My little brother got it for me for Christmas, and I'm like, oh, whatever. Stuck it in, and I howled so hard my guts hurt.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Hey, I will go on the record as saying that Stephen Chow is the Mel Brooks of martial arts flicks.
Yeah, you're correct on that.
Hmm. I agree.
For that movie, was anybody else here when they went into the crummy part of town, and there was the one guy who was taking this, you know, his wash in his head, and you know he was getting water out of the
in the red light district.
In the red light district, we'll call it the red light district. That's a perfect one for it. But he was like taking a bath, and the landlord lady was trying to get money from him. And he wanted to teach me kung fu. I thought he might have been the kung fu expert in Kung Fu Hustle until he got smacked upside down.
Yeah, it's a great twist. Really,
yes, it
great
is.
Twist.
Well, that's what led you to believe,
right?
Yeah, that's great what twist. I liked about it.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
That's part of the reason why I chose it, though. It's completely unexpected.
So, Red Shirt, you got one?
Well, I decided to go down the route of the more a different version of the Big Lebowski, Office Space.
Office Space.
Yeah, because it had that same kind of cool feel to it. And it was,
It was, the TPS reports.
Yes.
In my stapler.
And don't forget the famous line that came out of that lasted a long time.
What was that?
The O face. Yeah.
The O face, that's right. Oh, my. Oh, my. That's right.
You'll never look at a swing line stapler the same way again.
No. No, not at all. So let's switch gears a little bit just for a second. Hey, Loki, we saw your tweet. You got the proofs back for the final installment of Lich Queen. What can you share with us about it? We're all chomping at the bit to know. I just can't wait any longer.
Okay. The last time I was on here, I got to drop wonderful bit of news on y'all and break the news that Brendan LaSalle, who created X-Trawl, was joining the team.
Yep.
Well, the news has done nothing but continue to amp up and get better ever since then. We actually built a really insane team to put this together. So we've got Andrew Hoskins on board, who's a venture captain for the Pathfinder Society. He's put about 13 or 14 monsters on Pathfinder blog. He's done a lot of third-party work. Really great guy. We got Matt Medeiros, who's done a lot of the stat blocks you've seen in Dreamstarred Press's Ionix stuff. Who is just he's a beast. This guy just cranks stuff out, and it's always brilliant. Really amazing stuff there. He and Dreamstarred are actually putting out a new book that's coming out soon as well. Going to give a shout out to his other project there, which is for mixed blood characters. It's a reboot of their old Hybrids and Half-Breeds book, which they've pulled together into a new form and are calling it Bloodforge. That should be hitting real soon. He's just amazing. He did a lot of crazy things with the rules that are just going to amaze people. And then we got Richard Moore, who is amazing, who's a designer over at John Brazier Enterprises and also an editor. So he not only contributed a lot of design work, but put everything through a serious mill, you know, editing to the point of, okay, are these stat blocks balanced out properly, et cetera. Really, really fun stuff.
Nice.
You know, so we've got these guys. We've got a brand new designer named Monty Reed, who's a buddy that's been at my gaming table off and on for 15 years here in New Orleans, and another first time designer getting his first byline in this book named Alan Hoffman, who's actually a pastor out in rural Dakota. Looks like Hagrid from Harry Potter. You know, so you've got this insane collection of people that we've pulled together, and it's not going to be like any book you've ever seen before. It's a monster. It's going to be bigger than anything else in the series, anything else we've done. Everything from steampunk vehicle chases on down the line, post-apocalyptic stuff, cyberpunk stuff, classic old school fantasy. The adventure, a lot of the book is actually you fighting your way through a series of alternate realities to get from the beginning of the entrance hall in the palace to the end of the entrance hall where you start fighting your way through the palace. And these guys just made it sing. You know,
I was
putting the book together, it's like, okay, you know, everybody take a look. This is what's going on. These are what sort of settings the various chapters are in. Grab the things that speak to your passions. And it really shows, you know, like Andrew, those of you that are old school gamers, when I say he is a Fiendish Trap Master on the Grimtooth level, you'll
nice.
Get what I'm saying.
Good. Lots of dead characters,
you know,
that means.
I got to look at a rough, not anything approaching a final layout, you know, just getting things into the pages and such. And even without any of the artwork and such in there yet, it's breathtaking. You know, I don't say that because I did a huge amount of work on it, but I don't know of anything else that has taken the rules and stretched them in so many directions. And what's a lot of fun about it to me is each of the different interludes could lend itself very easy to being a one-shot game all by itself.
Very nice. I'm if you're saying it's way bigger, so I've been reading Lich Queen Part 1 for the last, I don't know, about a month, and I've been working on it, and I'm on my third and final pass that I normally go through, and I feel like I'm dealing with you know, Beethoven's Ninth Symphony here. Either this is going to be a masterpiece, or I'm going to completely flop this thing, because there is a lot of information. For those of you that don't know, just the first installment alone is 144 pages of a ton of backstory. At 20 pages or so, the first 20 pages are dedicated to backstory, followed up by this bard song, which is just phenomenal. The bard song is awesome, and I'm looking at how I'm going to build that in to our campaign.
Well, they're just getting ready to get to the scene. The instance you're talking about is where they first encounter the legend of the angel and the angel song, which is kind of what draws them into the whole adventure. And, you know, your group was one of the first of our now international demo games that we're doing. So the Geek Line game and the New Orleans game basically are the two that started everything off. The guy in the New Orleans game is getting ready to get to that scene, and I don't know how many locals are listening to this, so I'm actually going to let this drop. I'm trying to see if I can twist the arm of a reasonably well-known local musician to walk in with his guitar, play the song when the bard's scene is there, and then just walk off.
That would be awesome.
That sounds sweet.
Cross your fingers for me. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull it off, but I'm definitely going to try, and if I do, I will capture it on video.
Yes, you've got to, because I've been debating how I'm going to deal with that scene. And embarrassingly, last night I set up my little sound booth and I started playing the background music, which I won't give away what the background music is. But I started playing the background music and singing, and I realized, you know what? I cannot do this justice. I'm going to need to bring somebody else in to sing this. So we're really excited about what's going to be the final installment of an absolute epic story. Epic adventure. These guys are going to love it. And normally I can set up an adventure in 2 weeks. I've been on this 6 weeks and I'm still through all the reading. It's that epic in just the first volume. I have the PDF of Machine of Lich Queen.
Yeah.
I've kind of thumbed through it, but I haven't even begun. So when can we expect the final installment to actually come out?
Well, here's the deal right now is the end of 2014 is really just absolutely nuts as far as what we're putting out. You know, we got Machine out about a month or two ago. We just had Consorts, which is the sidetrack art that just went live a couple of days ago. At the same time, we've got Set Rising for Savage Worlds, the epic god hunt across a million parallel realities. In another week or so, we've got our steampunk fairy setting for Savage Worlds, Clockwork Dreams, hitting. And right around the same time, we've got Talus rolling through. Our layout person must just be avoiding sleep completely, is all I can speculate. But I don't know if it'll actually happen before Thanksgiving, which is what I was originally hoping for, but you can be guaranteed that you're going to see it between now and Christmas.
Okay, so I can give it to myself for Christmas.
Yeah, there you go.
And you were mentioning Set Rising. I know the guys had some questions on Set Rising. Trunk Monkey, you had some questions about it?
I actually came across a quote from you, Loki. You called it techno-Egyptian mayhem.
Yes.
So why mayhem?
So here's kind of the short form. Okay, Set Rising is a futuristic setting, you know, very much based in Egyptian culture, and when Darren and the other guys were writing it, they wanted to give things a bit of a spin. So, you know, the Egyptian gods are real and high technology is real, and high technology was the gift of Ra to humanity, which leads to a lot of interesting things, you know, like some of the Ra-based tech working much better or doing additional damage and such when it's in natural daylight. but basically, the techno-Egyptian pantheon, very much the divine gods, but with this real sort of sci-fi, pro-tech, high-tech twist to it, you know. And then you've got Set on the other end of things, who's just kind of rampaging through parallel realities, building up power and amassing followers and such in a bid to take everything. You know, so it's a monster in scope. And one thing that I really like, I did an interview with Darren Pierce about his work on it. He was one of the writers. One of the things I just absolutely love about it is that it's not like so many gaming products are. It's not just ferociously black and white. It's not all chiaroscuro. There's a lot of gray area, particularly when you're talking about the gods and such. But there are a couple of little slices of Set Rising in Palace of the Lich Queen, so you'll get to see some of it for yourself.
Nice.
Well, that leaves a lot of area for a role play, though, which is what makes
exactly
it
right. Exactly nuance of character, nuance of interrelationships. These are the things that can really drive the great games. You know, the ones you're talking about 10 years later.
Now, in Set Rising, you got I guess you play as a demigod of Ra.
Well, the basically suzerain, which is the overall setting. You know, Set Rising and all of the other settings are different alternate planes, if you will, or as we call them, realms within the whole. So demigod in Savage Worlds terms is an additional rank higher than Savage Worlds characters can usually go.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the epic level rules for Savage Worlds, and
yes.
That's what the Savage Worlds products are geared for. Demigod level in Pathfinder terms, and you'll see it as a DM, you'll see it referred to a lot in Tomb, you probably have already.
Oh, yeah.
In Pathfinder terms, that simply means 15th level or higher.
Okay. All right. Are you guys doing Set Rising in a Pathfinder rule set and an alternate rule sets, not only Savage Mojo, but are you going to stick to Savage Mojo Pathfinder, or are you going to go outside those at any point?
Okay, well, here's kind of the way things stand at this point. A lot of our back catalog is Savage Worlds, and there's absolutely no way we're going to abandon our Savage Worlds fans. They are loyal. They have gotten us where we are. They're wonderful people. It's a wonderful game. By the same token, in the coming year, we're going to be expanding our Pathfinder output extensively. Right now, the design team, the crazy people that I was talking about earlier that did Palace, and just knocked it out of the park. We're all in the process of rebooting the Suzerain core book. And as we get the last of the books that are being published over the course of this year out, we're beginning to have our meetings and figure out exactly what our production schedule is. It's like, okay, for next year, is it going to be something new? Are we going to adapt one of the existing books? You know, so are we going to do Set Rising? If so, where in the schedule does it fall? Are we going to do Clockwork Dreams? If so, where does it fall in the schedule? Do we want another Dungeonlands book, et cetera? So that's all very much in the brainstorming area. But I can guarantee you're going to see a lot of conversion of the stuff that's out already into Pathfinder terms, the things that will work with Pathfinder-style play. And you're going to see a lot of, you know, like I said in the last interview, you know, we are dead serious about not being dilettantes. You know, we're not going to do Pathfinder because it's a cool system and everybody plays it. I've managed to slowly build up a team of really hardcore people, and we're going to be doing Pathfinder stuff that will sit up with the best of what's out there.
So,
you know,
far
no half measures.
Far be it from me to throw all a softball question. I'm going to throw you a hard one. And I know this is a point of contention with the first Lich Queen, which I actually saw as a bonus, but some people saw it as a subtraction. Is the final installment, is it going to have maps?
The final one, so, you know, I don't know a lot about the imagery and the maps that are going in there. I know there's a tile set for it. I'm not certain whether it's going to actually be included in the book or not.
Okay.
To be honest, you know, once we got the design end out of the way and turned it over to layout, my hands were full with Clockwork Dreams and such coming out. So I know it's something that's been a bone of contention before, but I would hate to give you a certain yes or no answer without double-checking with my layout person and making sure they're in the book. Because if I said, yes, it's in the book, or it's not, or vice versa.
Fair enough.
Not so great.
Nope, fair enough. And I just got to... I just got a
honest answer.
I just got a ping from the internet saying, "Thank God you're reading it. When can I play?" so I know
well,
a lot.
The first two volumes, Tomb and Machine, are up on SavageMojo.com and up on DriveThruRPG. You can easily grab them there. And Palace will be out, and you know it's all wonderful stuff, but man, Palace is really going to be the thing. I think that's the book that's going to amaze everybody out there and let them know just how serious we are about working with these rules.
I think so too. So as we continue on, let's jump back to movies here real quick, and we'll come back to the Savage Mojo stuff. Trunk Monkey, hit me with a geek movie.
How about Stargate?
Oh, good one.
Yeah.
Set Rising.
Exactly.
Well, I'll refute that influence later.
that was a good one.
I love that. I love that movie.
That was a terrific movie.
And it also spawned a pretty good,
okay movie, genius TV series.
Okay.
Yeah. With there was what, four, right?
Spinoffs, right?
There was Stargate, there was Atlantis, and there was Universe. And then if you want to go for the technicality, there was a very short-lived Made Your Eyes Bleed, It Was So Bad animated TV series.
They had a great cast, though. They just didn't do much with the storyline.
Well, the storyline, they'd like used a lot of the good ideas up, and it would have just been a lot of rehashing. I think they were almost, because it ran for a lot of years.
Yeah, it did.
So
six or seven, right?
It might have been longer than that.
Oh, okay, my bad.
For all of them. When,
for all of them, yeah.
Yeah, the total. So I think they were running out of really good ideas. I know some of the writers left later on to go do other
projects.
Well,
you know they're rebooting it, right?
Oh, really?
Oh, you're kidding.
Three movies.
I'm not against that.
Wait, as movies, not TV series, you said?
Three movies. That's okay. The last that I saw. I think it was on Bleeding Cool. They were sharing some of the official announcements about that.
Nice.
Okay. Bleeding
Cool. I'll adopt a wait and see. You know, it could be garbage or it could be great. It all comes down to the writer and the director.
Absolutely.
Very true.
Absolutely. So, TK.
Yeah.
Got another one?
Yeah, it's a recent one, actually. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah?
I saw it three times in the theater. I mean, I could probably see it another three times at least.
Really?
You know, in the theater. It's,
you liked it that much, huh?
Oh, it was great. I think it comes out for sale, I think, in a couple weeks, too.
You going to buy it?
Oh, of course I'm going to buy it.
All right. Well, then, there you go.
I hope so, because I'm ashamed to say I haven't seen it yet.
Not yet.
Oh, you got to see it. You got to see it.
Don't worry. I haven't either. Don't feel too bad.
You know, TK, how much I hate to agree with you on anything, but this one, I saw it twice in the theater myself. It was the most surprisingly great movie I saw, because I did not expect that from the movie.
See, but you agreeing with me means that there's something wrong with me.
Oh,
I agree.
I think there's something wrong with both of us.
Well, you know, you guys all must be pretty warped, because we all get along great.
Yeah.
I'll give you one. And if this soundbite doesn't give it away, I don't know what will.
Hail to the king, baby.
Oh, of course. Oh, the all-time great. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
It's groovy.
So Army of Darkness, Bruce Campbell. He's at Comic-Con, so he's geeky himself. And that movie, a lot of that movie reminds me of stuff I'm going to throw at you guys in Lich Queen. Because there is just so much weird stuff in that movie that I think fit in to Lich Queen really well. So that movie to me was one of the greatest geek movies of all time. Because the guy, he works at S Smart.
Yes. Shop Smart.
Shop S Smart. That's right. And here, I'll give you another one.
Heads, listen up. See this? This is my boomstick.
That's right. So, I mean, that's as geeky as it gets, right? Scaring the villagers and the whole nine yards. So, that was on my list.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the new TV series.
Yeah, on Stars.
That's right.
Only if he could just memorize a script. That's all. Not script, but if he could just memorize whatever the Necronomicon expression, he would have been able to do it fine.
Oh, hey.
Incantation, thank you.
Yes, and you guys do this to me constantly, right?
So guys. Don't you know where that's from?
No idea.
Klaatu Barada Nikto? Oh, go back and dig into your classic 1950s sci-fi and watch The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Oh, The Day the Earth Stood Still. Holy Toledo.
Yeah,
wow.
That's where Klaatu Barada Nikto comes from. Come on, guys.
Wow, holy Toledo. That was a good – okay, it's a little bit before my time, but that was a good one.
Well, what can I say? I'm old.
I don't say that. That was a good movie. I've seen it.
I'll give this to you. So a lot of times I spend all of this time, you know, building up a story for you guys, and I tell you all the story and you're into it, and then the time comes later to cast the spell, and this is my imitation of you guys because none of you have taken notes.
Klaatu, Arada.
It's like, damn it, I spent 4 hours putting together those three words. You know, somebody take notes,
you know what,
please.
That is? That's a failed spellcraft check.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So, Loki, what else you got on your list?
Oh, let me see. I mean, we've got all kinds of clockwork mayhem getting ready to go. Oh, I know what I need to mention. I was talking earlier about how you guys and the New Orleans group are the beginning of the international demos for the Lich Queen and our other stuff. The one thing that I don't think I mentioned, and today's a very appropriate day, is as of a few days ago, that went international. Because in addition to the group in New Orleans and you guys, we've got up in North Dakota, we've got Alan, who helped write the books, is running it as one of the official demos. We've got a guy named Chris who helps run MGA Con in Georgia. He's running it with his group. And then we've got a barracks full of military guys in Iraq.
Wow.
That are going to be running it. And that really just, I absolutely love that. I unfortunately can't really share their names or anything, you know, just because you need to keep the guys safe over there. But they're a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to seeing a military group that are used to living tactics and such day-to-day tear into it and see what sort of damage they can do.
Yeah, see what kind of strategy. So that's
something I'm really excited about. Clockwork Dreams, other than Lich Queen, Clockwork Dreams is the other big one. You know, steampunk is a great aesthetic, and this is going to be our first foray in that direction, a full-on steampunk setting set in a world where the line between fairy and normal day-to-day life is basically non-existent.
Okay. Can you actually?
Yeah. So that's gonna be a lot of fun. I've actually been posting a couple of previews that I've been getting from layout that should be coming out. God, I'd say with luck within a week.
Nice. Can you give me a little bit more info on steampunk? I've been looking into it, but I'm not quite sure I get it. I mean, is it Victorian era?
Jules Verne.
Well, I mean,
I think the whole steampunk thing. I mean, think Jules Verne sort of era stuff, with a little bit more of a modern sense of overdoing it, shall we say. You know, steampunk stuff, you know, very much like The Difference Engine, written by William Gibson back in the late 80s, I think it was. Alternate Victorian, many of the sort of advances that we're making with, you know, solid state technology and bioengineering and so on, that's all more clockwork and steam and pistons and such, you know. So steampunk settings are places where, you know, you can run into the mechanic guy who's basically got, you know, almost Guyver style clockwork or battle armor that he's fighting with and things like that. You know, and it's become a really huge thing. We've actually got a steampunk group in Seattle and a steampunk group here in New Orleans that are both tentatively committed to doing demos of Clockwork when it hits.
Yes.
Sundance, do you watch any animation?
A lot.
Then do you know
lately.
Full Metal Alchemist is a great example of what steampunk is.
Okay, now I think I get what you mean. Okay. I haven't really seen that, but I know what you're talking about. That's what it comes down to.
All right, so Loki, give me a geek movie.
I'm sorry?
Give me a geek movie, Loki.
Bring another one.
A geek movie? You need geek movies? Okay, let's go hardcore dystopian with it. Terry Gilliam's Brazil.
Oh, what? Yeah. No, that is. That's dystopian for sure.
And just because I'm that kind of geek, Terry Gilliam's Brazil, the 3-hour-and-40-minute Criterion version, which was the only release ever done of Terry Gilliam's original vision.
I don't I don't think I've ever actually watched the whole thing. I actually have it. And
the,
I don't.
The Criterion one?
Yeah, and I don't think I've ever watched the whole thing.
Well, now we're going to watch it.
Well, yeah. Now I'm going to watch it.
And make an evening of it. One of the greatest dystopian flicks ever made.
It's disjointed in a lot of ways, and I don't think I've ever sat through the whole thing all at once. Because, okay. I mean, you know, I think that the normal version is 2 hours, 10 minutes, something like that. So even the normal version is pretty long, and I constantly get confused if I'm not paying attention.
Well, if it's a long movie, yeah, but, I mean, it's a lot going on. But you're telling me it's almost 4 hours.
Well, yeah, the, quote, director's cut, unquote, yeah.
Okay. Apocalypse Now is, I think, almost 4 hours for the newest cut.
There's
the Redux?
Yeah,
and then, of course, there are things like Highlander 2, which feel like they're 4 hours.
yeah, I don't know if that one counts. That was pretty bad.
They were all pretty bad after the first one, in my opinion.
The first one was okay.
Hey, Highlander, there should have been only one.
I agree, there should have been only one. That's absolutely
okay.
Right.
Okay, uh-huh.
Oh, did you guys know about the rebooted version where they brought the guy from the TV show, and then they brought the guy from the movie, and they fought, and the guy
from
the movie died?
Yeah, that was Highlander 4. Yeah.
Why do you know this? Why
because
do
I
you
like
know?
Highlander, okay, even if it sucks.
It's only second to Kickboxer.
That's right.
So wait, I've got to ask, does that mean you're a fan of Ishtar, too?
Who?
Ishtar.
No, nah, Fred, I don't know what that
is.
Oh,
you haven't seen Ishtar?
Yeah, Fred, I don't know what that one
no?
is.
All right.
I'll simply say this. Look it up later, and you will have found yourself face-to-face with one of what is considered to be the worst movies.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Yeah.
Wait, which one are you talking about now? Ishtar itself, the movie?
No, Ishtar.
Ishtar.
Yeah.
Who's in that? Dustin Hoffman?
Yeah, that was Dustin Hoffman post Tootsie and all those other movies that he got famous
for. Yeah, when he was commanding a lot of money, too. It was kind of like Kevin Costner's Waterworld. Right? You know,
yeah,
it was just bad. It just tanked. I don't think it bankrupted the studio like Waterworld did. But it was a bad movie.
Now I've got a geek movie for you. I've got one that I can pretty much guarantee none of you guys are aware of, and it's practically impossible to find, but oh man, it's so worth it.
Bring it on.
You ever hear of a Bruce Dern flick called World Gone Wild?
No.
Nope. You got me there.
Okay. Really, really obscure, low budget, 80s post-apocalyptic movie. Bruce Dern plays a sort of mushroom chomping hippie holy man in one of the little desert encampments and such. But what really makes the movie awesome is the villain, because the villain is this white clad religious leader who shows up with all of his guys dressed up in like altar boys robes with machine guns and such, and converts the villages as he goes. What makes it great and what makes it great is the performance is really, really just menacing and wonderful, is that it's played by Adam Ant.
Oh, really?
You're kidding.
It's impossible to find. It was released on VHS once back in the 80s, and I think I saw it once. You know how you see movies kind of float onto YouTube and then get yanked when people realize their license is being violated? I think I remember seeing it turn up on YouTube at one point. But yeah, if you can ever find a copy of that, it's schlocky, it's hilarious, it's funny as hell. Bruce Dern is an absolute riot in it as just the tripped out leader who's amassing defenders for his little town to keep people from stealing the last of their water. And Adam Ant is the religious leader serial killer. That's what really does it.
It's called World Gone Wild.
Quite something in this.
Okay, World Gone Wild.
World Gone Wild.
World Gone Wild. I think it was like 1986 or something like that.
Is it on YouTube or it already got yanked?
I don't know. The last time it came up and I even thought about it was about a year ago. So, you know, who knows at this point?
Yeah, it's not on YouTube at the moment.
Fucking bastards.
Every time. Oh. Without fail.
They take everything off. You know, it's...
Everything? What, they're just too much censoring? What?
No, it's just licensing and all that shit. YouTube just isn't what it used to be.
Well, you don't
want to
get ripped off if you make something.
Well, You know, I do have to chime in there that while it is on a certain level nice to see some of that stuff sometimes, as someone who relies on royalty checks, I would like to know anything I see out there is actually, if it's making money, I'd like to see some of that money going to the people that made it, you know.
Exactly.
So, I've seen it on there, but I can't really complain about things like that getting yanked, you know. If I had worked on it, as Harlan Ellison put it so very simplistically, hey, you want my words, pay me.
Yeah, but how many people are watching it now? Zero, I assume, if it was out on VHS once.
Yeah.
Hey, so sell it to Netflix and stream it for free. That way the creators get a few pennies here and there.
I'm good by that. I'd watch it on Netflix now that I know it exists.
Yeah, now we know about it. Okay, you piqued my interest here.
So you're an enterprising bunch of geeks. If you find somewhere where you can buy a copy or something like that, you let me know.
Well, now I'm going to have to scour eBay through the VHS section on eBay just to find it.
Amazon, maybe, or is that out of the question?
Probably. Maybe, but probably not.
I don't even know if I have a VCR anymore. I think I shit canned it years ago.
No, mine still works. We could get it.
Of course, you still got a VCR.
Of course, it works, doesn't it?
You even have a DVD player?
Yes.
I still have a VCR. What are you trying to say?
You do?
Yeah. I probably haven't turned it on in 10 years, but I got a VCR.
Still works, I hope.
Yeah.
Well, he actually uses his. You're just a hoarder.
No, actually, I don't think I've turned my VCR on in quite some time, actually. I just have one.
It's been a couple months, right?
No, actually a few years.
What other movies you got, Sundance?
As far as geek movies
Yeah,
go.
Come on. Give us one.
Okay, I'll mess with all you guys. Loki, I'm going to wonder what you think about this one. Believe it or not, I actually like the Super Mario Brothers movie.
That is weak.
Are you kidding?
I actually liked it.
Well, since my opinion in particular was invited here, I'm afraid I'm going to have to be a massive disappointment to you.
Yeah,
I'm an oddity. I only play tabletop. I've never played any video games, so I've never gotten into Mario Brothers, and I've never seen the movie.
Okay.
Good. Yeah, don't bother.
Yeah.
I still say it's worth watching.
That shit is weak.
No, I say it's worth watching. Yeah. I didn't say it was a great piece of work.
Who's in that? Bob Hoskins?
Yes.
Who else?
John Leguizzi. I can't even say his
Dennis
name.
Dennis Hopper was in it too,
Dennis
right?
Hopper.
Oh,
Leguizziamo,
my God. Yes.
Leguizziamo. I can't even say his name.
Remember, this is the same guy that watches Grey's Anatomy.
And Kickboxer.
Yeah.
No, not really.
Four.
Five.
He hasn't seen five yet.
Made one.
Yet.
That's your Christmas present.
Well, now I'm going to see it when he gives it to me, right?
That's horrible.
No, but I mean, seriously, it wasn't a great work. It wasn't a great piece of movie, whatever you want to call it, but it was entertaining. That's what matters.
It wasn't even entertaining.
No.
To me, it was.
I think it was.
I got
was
something to make up for that one, at least a little bit.
All right.
You know, we've been throwing out some curveballs on the geek movies to go out with. This one's a John Carpenter movie that he, you know, he's not the one to go geek as much as he likes to go cliche zombie mummy or something like that.
He did do my favorite geek movie of all time, Big Trouble in Little China.
Yes, yes. That is a great one.
You know, I'm having trouble hearing you guys on this end. What was that last one?
I brought up Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, but I was saying John
classic.
Carpenter, because he came up with this one called Dark Star. It was his first movie he ever made.
Oh yeah, that's the one with the intelligent atomic bomb that they have on
yes,
board the ship.
Exactly.
That's hilarious. That was Spielberg in college, as I recall.
Yes.
Exactly.
I loved seeing the bomb argue with the computer. I mean, what's going on here?
John Carpenter directed, wrote it, and produced it.
Yep.
And he did the music, which he does for a lot of his own stuff. So that's pretty cool.
Not a bad first movie, right?
College project, even, really. Just like Steven Spielberg was Duel. That was a college project, I think.
I just got a ping from the internet. Klaatu Vratam bullshit. My character should know it. yes, the old. But my character knows. No, I don't let you guys get
but,
away
but,
with
but
that.
You see, that attack of opportunity came 7 rounds later, so it doesn't help much.
Yeah, exactly. So that was a good one. Dark Star. Good choice.
Yeah, that was a good one.
TM, what do you got?
What about Clerks?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Clerks.
I think that's a geek movie, though.
I don't know if it, that. I wouldn't know if that counts as a geek movie, but that's a great movie, nevertheless.
I would say it counts as a geek movie, but not a genre flick.
Okay, fair enough.
I can go
with
that.
I can go
all
with
right,
that.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, considering the director is a huge geek himself, I mean, he made the movie to open up a comic book store. So, I mean, that's...
yeah, no, that's true. I love that movie.
All right, well, if that one's not geeky enough, what about Grandma's Boy?
Hell yeah.
Oh, yes, what a
good one.
I don't think I've seen that.
I haven't either.
Oh, you're missing out on
that
one.
I haven't either.
Yes, Grandma's Boy. It's worth watching. It's pretty funny.
The premise is about, it's just based around...
video game testers.
Video game testers, exactly.
Okay, great.
Yeah, it's
You never seen that one, Sundance?
No.
Oh, you're missing out. That's a great movie.
But he's seen Super Mario Brothers.
Trying to go rent it.
I have it. I'll let you borrow it. It's on DVD, though.
Yeah, I've got a DVD player.
Okay.
I told you that already.
Yeah, he keeps it under his VCR.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right on top of the Kickboxer collection.
And Misty Dawn.
And Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, don't worry.
I told you, Misty Dawn is not out in the living room. It's under the bed.
Don't worry, I'm still on this planet. What about you?
So, give me another one.
What about, now this was a one of your favorites, TK, you know, YouTube.
Yeah.
You had to watch it on YouTube.
Yeah.
It was a five-part webisode, Halo 4, Forward Unto Dawn.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty good.
Did you like that? I really didn't like it.
I liked it.
I liked it. I thought it was good.
Did you?
I liked it. As a matter of fact, we watched the trailer for Halo Nightfall on Friday when I was over at your house.
Yeah.
That one actually looked pretty good.
Is that also going to be?
No, that's going to come as part of the Halo Master Chief collection.
Oh.
That comes out here. Was it today?
Yeah, it's today.
It's today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I honestly think none of them compare to Red versus Blue. That's still the best movies they ever made out of Halo anyway.
Yeah, but those weren't really movies. Those were
shorts.
Yeah, shorts, I guess you would call them, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't really a coherent
Yeah,
movie.
Some of them were funny.
Close
some
enough.
Of them, yeah.
Yeah, if we're talking to movies, let's keep it to things that are at least 45 minutes or so in length.
That's it. That seems fair. There you go. There you go.
Okay.
Red versus Blue doesn't.
You know, because while technically they're all moving, you know, I would like a certain amount of length just for consistency of arguments here.
Okay, fair enough.
What about Hardware Wars?
That was
classic.
45 minutes.
Classic. Although I'm a bit sketchier on the special edition version.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember Hardware Wars.
I think I have
Wars.
That.
You don't remember Hardware Wars?
1978?
Yeah.
I remember going to science fiction cons, CoastCon and Volcom and such down here on the Gulf Coast in the early 80s because it was the only way you could find stuff like that back in the pre-internet dark ages, and trying to find someone that had a kit tape of the elusive Hardware Wars.
I have that.
As I recall, it took about a year to track one down.
Wow, was that a Spike and Mike's Film Festival one, too?
No,
I don't see
no.
how. It was, like he says, made in 78.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a parody of Star Wars.
Yeah, I don't
that
remember
that
one.
Wasn't the one where they were, like, flying like an iron?
Yes,
and,
it was.
Well, I remember
Yes, it was.
That.
I don't
that
remember
right.
it. I'm looking at
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
yeah.
R2-D2 was a canister vacuum,
yes,
and they're flying irons and stuff. It was wildly inventive. Really fun stuff.
Spaceball before Spaceball.
I was going to say, yeah, Spaceball is before Spaceball. Exactly.
No, Spaceball.
Oh, way before Spaceball. Like 6 years before.
Detailed.
In massive embarrassment, I don't think I've ever seen it.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow, you're kidding.
One more thing I'll have to go look up. I don't remember this one.
You know, I'm kind of surprised that nobody's here really bringing up any animated movies. I mean, there are some great ones. Like, of course, you know, my all-time favorite animated movie is, you know, the Transformers. The original
I couldn't quite make out what you said just
characters.
There. Nah.
But that's not the one I'm looking at. The one I'm looking at and the one that I'm really thinking of is the one that got me into fantasy back when I was a kid was The Hobbit. The original Hobbit.
Oh, the Rankin-Bass Hobbit, yeah.
Yes, and Lord of the Rings and Return of the King. Those were some great movies back then for animated movies when I was a kid.
Yeah, those are definitely, they started geeks.
Well, you know, that sort of conversation is taking you to the realm of Bakshi, because he's the one that did the rotoscoped Lord of the Rings movie. So if you're going to talk about geeky movies and Bakshi, you got to mention wizards.
Have you seen Wizards?
Yes, I know exactly what he's talking about.
I don't know if I
not to be confused with The Wizard, right?
No, big difference.
No, I know it, but
huge,
I've never seen it.
Huge difference.
Yeah, big difference.
I mean, come on, this is the guy that brought you Fritz the Cat, for God's sake.
Oh, jeez, I've seen those too. Oh, man. Fritz the Cat, that was the first animated movie to be rated X.
Yep.
Was it, really?
Yes, Fritz the Cat, that was the first one, X.
Yeah, 1977, Wizards. Yeah, yeah, I know about it, but I've never seen it. So
I've seen bits and pieces of it.
One more to add to my list.
Well, I mean, it's not the greatest movie, but I mean, it's worth
watching. It's essential viewing, though.
Yeah, for a geek, maybe.
You know, with all the movies we've named that we've thrown in the 70s, do we have to say that the 70s, like late 70s, might have been the time for geek TV shows and movies?
I don't know. No, I think we got a lot in the 80s. We had some into the 90s. I mean, Grandma's Boy was 2006.
Yeah.
You know, Superbad was, right, you know, we mentioned that on the last show. Superbad was 2007 or something like that.
Okay, I got one. Loki, you got to know this one. Now we're talking about TV shows. Do you remember The Misfits of Science?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
The Misfits of Science?
It only lasted some.
Come on. You're talking to a man that remembers the Logan's Run TV show.
Yeah. Oh, I don't remember that.
The TV show.
Run. Yeah.
Okay, I don't remember that one.
One season in the early 70s, Logan's Run TV show. And of course, back in the days before Space 1999, its precursor, UFO, which I used to sneak up and sit at the top of the stairs and watch down through the doorway of the living room because I wasn't allowed to be up that late, but my dad was always watching them.
Wow, Logan's Run TV show, 1977. Yeah.
I heard about it, but once again, I don't think I've seen any of the TV shows.
I've seen a couple of them. You can get them on Amazon Instant Video.
Okay.
So,
I warned you guys. My knowledge of geeky film is intense.
That's a good thing, man. Look who you're talking to.
Yeah, it's awesome. Now I'm gonna have to go watch the rest of Logan's Run. I have to watch The Misfits of Science. I have to watch The Wizards. Well, we are now delaying Lich Queen by a month, so I can go watch all these things that I'm behind here.
Oh, Jesus. Incorporated.
Hey, come on, guys. Wars. Let's see if we can fill his schedule up so he has no time between now and Christmas.
Yeah, that's what it seems to be. TK.
Going back to animated movies, I remember one. What about Fire and Ice?
Oh, the Frazetta stuff.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Good one.
Yeah, I used to love that movie. That was a badass movie. I think I own it on VHS maybe somewhere still.
Jesus.
You know, you threw in the ice. It reminded me of Ice Pirates. I actually like that movie.
Ice Pirates.
Ice Pirates is another good one.
I mentioned that last one, but yeah, I love that picture.
Well, you know, and then of course there's Star Chaser, The Legend of Orin, if you're going to go off on that sort of tangent.
Oh, my. Yes.
Was that the one with Molly Ringwald? No.
I think that was pre-Molly Ringwald, actually.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. It's been a while. The 80s are a little fuzzy. That was high school and college. Come on.
No comment.
Yeah, no, that I don't think that was not Molly Ringwald.
Which one? There was one sci-fi. What was in that? Damn it, I can't remember the name of that one. That was Molly Ringwald was in it. You don't remember that
sci-fi?
One with the? Yeah.
She was in a sci-fi one.
Yeah,
huh?
She was in a sci-fi movie. Like earlier, it's like around 16 Candles, around that era, like early 80s.
Huh. No, I don't remember.
You're not thinking of
Well, here's a bit of trivia for you. And anyone out there familiar with Rock and Rule?
Oh, wait. What is the
name? Come on, animated sci-fi story with Iggy Pop. How can you possibly
Jesus,
not know
now
that?
Now I do
one?
Remember. The Molly Ringwald one was Space Hunter. Adventures
Space Hunter.
In the Forbidden Zone.
There we go.
So, there you go. All right, Loki, we're going to have to go to commercial. But drop us the Savage Mojo info so people can find you and they can find the absolute treasure that is Lich Queen, in my opinion.
You're too kind, sir. Yeah, anybody wants to look for our stuff, savagemojo.com. If you're on Twitter or on Facebook or on Google+, just look for Savage Mojo. You can also look for Suzerain, which is we've got a couple of online communities dedicated to Suzerain, which is the overall setting. as it's expressed in all the rule systems. And if all else fails, you can drop me a line directly at hello@savagemojo.com and let me know what your questions are, and I'll answer them post-haste.
Yes, Loki, thank you for joining us on this topic. We're really looking forward to more, particularly the 2015 schedule looks really, really exciting for you guys.
Well, you guys are going to be one of the first that we notify once we have it hammered out exactly what's coming down the pipe. So, keep your eye on your email addresses. And it's always fantastic to be back, you know, especially when you need a little education on some of the older, more obscure flicks.
Looks like we did today.
Right on. Thank you, Loki. And you are listening
always
to
a pleasure, guys. Take care.
Geekline 415 on FCCFreeRadio.com.
You are listening to San Francisco's number one internet radio station, FCC Free Radio. Radio for the people, by the people. FCC Free Radio is powered by Waywacked Radio Networks.
The Little Black Egg, a great choice for your screen printing needs in the Bay Area. The Little Black Egg has experience and know-how when it comes to putting ink on garments. From t-shirts to tote bags, hoodies to hats, and everything in between. Competitive pricing, low minimums, and no maximums. San Francisco-based Little Black Egg can work with individuals and businesses, and can get the garment and brand you want. Need screen printing? Find us on Facebook, Twitter, or through our website, thelittleblackegg.com.
My Little Black Egg.
Hi, I'm John Miller, founder and general manager of FCCFreeRadio.com. This is a showcase of some of the great programming here on FFR. Stay tuned.
All you have to do as the audience is just sit back and relax and just cool out and listen to these joints and just tune in and tune out and vibe out while you're doing that. So with that, let's go ahead and get into it. You know how we usually do. It's the Bro DJ Show, y'all.
So the Audra Show is just meant to be really a show about my life, the things that I find interesting. You know, I've lived what some people would call unconventional or a free-spirited or an interesting life, and we'll get into that more during the course of the podcast, I'm sure.
You got Miss Fully Unbound Sound Show. We did 24 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. Don't forget, coming up from 9 until 10, we got a couple different segments. Keeping our fingers crossed, we'll start off with a phone interview with Angelo Moore from Fishbone, and then we'll follow that up with a conversation with Mark from Insolence. So that'll be coming up in the next hour.
You are listening to FCC Free Radio, San Francisco's number one internet radio station. Make sure to tune in to the Brother Bruno Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m., only on FCC Free Radio.
We're going to try out a new segment tonight, and it is called Parlay.
Parlay.
Parlay. And for those of you not familiar with Parlay, if you remember the PC game Pool of Radiance,
yep,
and you would want to talk to people there in the gaming world, you know, you had some choices of how you could talk to them. You could choose from abusive, or meek, sly, nice, and haughty.
Haughty. Oh, that's haughty.
Yep.
H-A-U-G-H-T-Y?
Yes,
yep.
Haughty.
Yeah. Haughty.
Not H-A-W-T-Y.
Not like, ooh, wow, look at that haughty.
Yeah. Right. And of course, depending depending on how you talk to them, you know, there were either rewards or,
yeah. Or you got your ass kicked.
Or consequences.
Yep.
So, TK, how are we going to talk tonight, and what are we going to be parlaying about?
All right, the first parlay, I'm going to create a new one. I'm calling it WTF.
Parlay WTF.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Yeah. Why the face, right?
Okay.
And it's all about the new title for Star Wars, which I think was just a total piece of shit.
Are you sure this isn't parlay?
I'll be blunt.
No, please be blunt. Tell us what you really think now.
The Force Awakens, if everybody doesn't know out there, it's called The Force Awakens.
That sounds stupid.
How generic can you get? Really?
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
Really? You like it?
I didn't say it was great.
Yeah,
but I don't think it's that bad.
It's not that bad, but it's not that great. It's just kind of
there.
It's there. I think worse was when they did Attack of the Clones, when everybody was waiting for Clone Wars to come out.
Yeah,
that was worse.
Yeah, but you knew that the clones were going to come eventually. You know, you You saw some, okay, well, eventually the Clone Wars are going to happen. Attack of the Clones. Okay, I guess this movie's going to be about the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
This one, like, The Force Awakens.
Yeah, it's like, eh.
Yeah.
Okay. Anticlimactic?
I guess.
It's okay. Just there. Okay, that's the way I look at it. It's just there.
Yeah, like they were sitting around the boards, like, we really got to think of a name. Fuck.
It's like they had a bunch of choices, and then someone threw a dart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, guess
right,
it's The Force
it's called
Awakens.
The Force. Okay, you throw now. Okay. Awakens. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, they could have done better.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, so it went through the random name generator, and that's what they came up with.
Yeah. I mean, is that like, official, or did they just
that's
throw
official.
That out there, and
that's
they'll a, change it later?
That's
no,
official.
It's official.
The Force
they
Awakens.
Change it. I hope they change it.
Okay.
All right, I got some more, though.
All right.
Parlay abusive.
Okay.
Abusive.
Parlay abusive.
For the video game industry.
Okay.
Which I think is total, it's turning into total bullshit nowadays.
Oh, yeah?
Just anything from digital downloads to microtransaction games.
Yeah.
I mean,
they want your
pre-orders.
Money.
Yeah, it's bullshit. Like, especially with pre-orders, right? Let's start there.
Okay.
Like with, I don't want to say the name of the chain of the corporation. We'll just call it Stop Game.
Okay.
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 We'll just call it that.
Right. Very, very vague.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I went in there this weekend and was talking about the Super Smash Brothers, you know, because I have a Wii U now. And they're like, oh, well, you better pre-order it or else you're not going to get it for a couple weeks. And I'm like, wait a second. You guys sell video games here, right? Oh, yeah, but you got to pre-order it. I got to pre-order it. What? And then I started thinking, what else do you pre-order? Out of anything. Do you go to the store or your Old Navy? You're like, oh, well, can I pre-order some jeans?
You can pre-order Russian brides online.
Very true.
Right.
I guess.
So it just pisses me off with this stop game company, you know?
I think right. In the ghetto they call it layaway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Service merchandise. Remember that place?
Yeah,
oh,
there you
God.
Go.
Oh, you just hit. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So this whole pre-order thing, it's that, okay, if you have a problem with controlling inventory and don't know what to buy, then maybe you shouldn't be in business.
Well, and that's why their stores are closing, right?
Right.
There you go.
Let me tell you, after your experience,
yes,
not my experience yet, but soon to be, other people's experiences that I've talked to with the digital downloads,
yeah,
I
it's not ready for
don't
yet.
Think that company you're speaking of is going out of business anytime soon.
No.
Wait. Hold on. On the live line, I have the CEO of Stop Game.
Stop Game. Okay.
Yes. He's going to explain to us what the problem is here.
I'm addicted to marijuana and crystal meth and crack.
So there you go. There's the problem with Stop Game.
Yeah.
Mismanagement.
I mean, Advanced Warfare, the average time it was taking to digitally download that game was roughly 20 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, this whole digital download is just a bunch of bullshit. I mean, the game should be like half price just to have you put up with that bullshit. Like, I remember when Elder Scrolls Online came out.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, okay, cool. F***ing 24 hours later, oh, I can finally play it.
Well, but that's why they've started to offer pre-downloads.
Pre-owned cars. What the fuck is a pre-owned car? Can't you just what happened to used cars? Aren't they just used cars?
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
everything's pre now.
Yeah, fair enough. Premature.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then on to other parts of the video game industry, like microtransaction games.
Yeah.
Which is bullshit.
Pay to win.
Yeah. Did you see that?
Pay to win.
Exactly.
That's what it is, dude. Pay to win.
Did you see that South Park episode last week?
No.
Where Terrence and Phillip came
Yeah, I saw that.
And they have, like, a game that's kind of like The Simpsons and Family Guy, where it's one of those microtransaction games where you build the town and everything. And was it Stan or Kyle that was addicted to it? Right?
Damn, was it Stan or was it Kyle? I forget. But, yeah, one of them was addicted to it. He was spending, like,
$26,000 or something like that, buying Canadian dough or something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
But all those microtransaction games are bull. You know, I mean, they just kind of wean you along, and it's like I play one on my phone, Star Wars Commander. I played it for about 2 months. I probably dumped about $100 into it. And every time I play it, I'm like, God damn, fuck this game. I'm sick of this shit.
Just delete it off your phone, then. Yeah. Be done with it.
Because the game, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the game, but it's you choose either to be Empire or Rebellion, right? And out of all the people playing, 75% are the Empire. So who do you think they nerfed?
The Rebellion.
No.
Oh, okay.
They nerfed the Empire. I mean, those 25% who play the Rebels just go into the Empire base and just kick their ass with Chewbacca and everybody. It's just total bullshit. It pisses me off.
That's that was an interesting way to deal with it. Yeah. 75% of the people that play are the Empire.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, sorry. They did nerf the Empire. Sorry. No.
Yeah, they nerfed the Empire. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So 75% of the people who play are the Empire, 25% are the Rebels.
Yes.
Which seems to me probably even further skewed than it was supposed to be in the movies. It would have been 90% Empire, 10% Rebels, and they nerfed the Empire. Nice.
Like being on the Empire, okay, so I got AT-ATs. Okay, cool, AT-ATs, fucking knock their shields down. And then once the shield's down, they sit there and shoot at the walls. Pew, pew, they don't do shit, and they spin around in circles. The game is broken.
How much did that cost you?
Was that with or without microtransactions?
Yeah, real money.
And it was Stan who was addicted.
It was Stan.
Because remember, he asked his dad to write another song.
Another song.
Because
right.
His dad, a couple of episodes ago, he was Lord.
Yeah.
He was Lord writing the Lord songs.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Any other parlay?
No, that's it for now. I'll
save
some.
That's it for this week.
All right, so you feel better now? Got
it
off your chest?
I vented right there. So.
Okay. All
right,
much better.
Good. So, gaming news. Anything exciting?
What's out there?
There's a couple things out there.
Stop game?
microtransactions?
Let's not even get into that. Let him get into that. There were some short little snippets of the Halo 5 multiplayer gameplay footage that leaked online. Anybody see that?
No, I haven't seen
it. No, didn't see that? Some people are up in arms because now they showed the players sprinting and aiming down the sights, which is something that's never, ever been included in any of the Halo games. So people are a little worried about that they're basically caving into the peer pressure from Call of Duty gamers and stuff like that, where they don't want Halo to become a Call of Duty. Which is fine. I don't like Halo. They can keep it without aiming down the sights and sprinting. That's fine with me. The multiplayer beta for that will release on December 29th and run through January 18th. And if you buy the Halo Master Chief Collection, you are guaranteed access to the beta. The beta will have 4v4 arena matches. There'll be 7 maps, 3 game modes, and 11 weapons in the beta. So, might be worth checking out. You were going to buy the Master Chief Collection, weren't you?
Yeah, I was thinking about buying it,
yeah. Yeah, I was...
There was some of them I didn't play, so...
Contemplating that myself. I mean, it's all basically going to be all new achievements and everything else, so it might be worth it.
I would hate to digitally download it.
You should have started, 3 days ago.
Maybe that's why they had, a pre-download thing. Yeah. Oh, it's going to take about a week, so...
Oh, man. And did anybody see the Guinness Book of World Records 2015 Gamers Edition?
No, not yet.
No? Haven't seen that? They polled 5,000 gamers from 140 countries around the world as to what their favorite video games are, and you'll never guess which one took the top spot. Anyone? Anyone? No?
No idea.
Man.
Call of Duty series.
Of Duty. Yeah,
yep.
Of course.
It received more votes than Super Mario Brothers, Minecraft, Grand Theft Auto, Halo, and The Legend of Zelda.
Wow.
No kidding.
Mm. Yep.
Holy God, never expect that. You're
only because
right.
It's the flavor right now, because he just came out with a new one.
Okay, ask him what, 6 months from now it'd be different?
Maybe. Three.
Okay.
Maybe. And then, speaking of that, of course, Advanced Warfare, they've already got an incoming patch for some... bugs and some multiplayer issues. One of their top priorities is going to be optimizing the connection. As you well know, TK, we've had some connection issues. I've actually heard that the patch has already gone live for PC and PS4 with the Xbox One coming in the next couple of days. Mm. And I've already heard rumors that a second patch is incoming and they're going to nerf my favorite gun, the BAL 27.
The BAL 27.
Yeah, which we all knew that was going to happen. I mean, did you actually hear about it, that they're not calling it Call of Duty anymore? They're calling it BAL of Duty? Because that's the only gun that everybody uses.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the best gun in the game right now. And they're also going to buff some of the SMGs. because a couple of them definitely need a buff. So that'll be nice. Maybe we'll see some more SMGs running around. I just hope they don't nerf the Bal too much and make it completely useless and turn it into the worst gun in the game.
Yeah,
which I've seen happen sometimes when they nerf things. Other than that, that's about all the big stuff in gaming news.
What about like shitty Xbox Live Gold games? Like the one I just downloaded.
Oh, the one that we played Friday night?
Yeah, the Viking one.
I kind of blocked that out of my memory already because it was so bad. What was it, Volgar?
Yeah,
Volgar the Viking.
What a piece of shit.
Thank God it was free, right?
If I could, I would send it back.
Oh, yeah, that game was bad. It was a side-scroller, kind of reminded me of Rygar meets Ghosts
and Goblins.
Ghosts and Goblins, yeah.
That's
a good analogy.
Yeah.
Two hits and you're dead.
Yeah.
I swear, I think we made it, what, about 5 miles into the game and couldn't find the second save point?
Oh, I was just pissed. I remember you were watching me, and I was just like, you got to be fucking kidding me, like halfway through the game, like, what the shit is this?
I really wish I could have recorded that, because that would have made a great Parlay Abusive episode. I think I almost peed my pants. I was laughing so hard. I couldn't stop laughing watching him play. I don't know actually how good of an episode that would have made. There would have been a lot of pretty much just beep, 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 beep.
That could be funny, though.
Well, that's one that pisses me off, too, that I forgot to mention. It was like Microsoft with Xbox. Like, oh, here, we'll give you these games since you're a member. I mean, they're all pieces of shit.
What do you expect?
The games with the free ones? The games with gold? Well, I feel
sorry for these people who actually purchased these games. Because that Volgar, what was that, $10?
I thought it was 20. I thought it was 19.99. $14.99, maybe? I don't know.
Too much, right?
I would be so pissed.
Know what? The Xbox One games with gold, There's nothing.
Well, there's a couple. There's that Dragon one, and what was that?
Yeah, that Dragon one was kind of garbage. Crimson Dragon? Was it
Crimson
Dragon?
Something like that, yeah.
Wasn't that good. There have been some good ones on the 360.
Yeah.
They've had some good ones. They had Street Fighter that they released, Gotham City Impostors. I had a lot of fun with that one for free.
There was
a couple other ones I downloaded, but Xbox One. Yeah.
Not for the one. It's like, here, you want the next-gen console? Oh, boy. Here, have some shitty games with it, too.
I'll tell you
what. With our shitty selection.
The graphics, though, aren't shitty.
On what?
On the Xbox One.
Volgar?
No, the Volgar, but that's the point.
That's like the Genesis graphics.
Right. But the Xbox One, you know.
Yeah.
You haven't come over and seen Advanced Warfare on the 360
yet. No, I haven't seen it yet. Yeah.
Oh, you got to come over and see that. Well, you got to come by anyway
this
week and pick up some stuff, so I'll let you check it out.
Yeah.
So you can come on here and go, holy shit, you were right. It's bad.
Yeah, but he's not bitter.
No,
not at all.
There's just no power in that console anymore to run these kind of games, so that's all it is. I mean, the PS3 probably looks okay. PS3 had some oomph left in it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anybody that actually has it on the PS3.
I don't either. So
I have a PS3, but I'm not going out and buying it again. At least I won't have to spend 20 hours downloading it, though.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
We're going to talk a little bit about Avalon?
Avalon.
Sure. So, got a chance to go to Avalon, Conquest Avalon, Sacramento this weekend. It's a lot of fun. We got to see a lot of people we know, and they had a lot of games going, which is what I was most impressed about. They had Pathfinder and Dungeons & Dragons. They didn't play this, oh, we do Pathfinder, or we do Dungeons & Dragons. They didn't play any of that. The gaming tables were still full at 10 o'clock at night for the prepared games, although we did notice that the board game area cleared out kind of early.
Yeah,
I'd say by about 6:30 or so.
7 o'clock,
it was
yeah, the board game area
a little cleared out, but
got cleared out. But the prepped RPGs seemed to be going. They had a couple guys playing, not a couple, they had more than a couple guys. They had quite a few people playing the Star Wars miniatures game, which were awesome. They had a whole spread there. That was a great, looked like a great game going. Six guys playing, I think.
Yeah, 3-on-3.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So that was cool. Had a lot of great vendors. Randy's House of Games, Three Sages, you know, showing off the Savage Mojo stuff, which was really cool. So overall, it's a small con, but I think I liked it. It was all in one room because they had the open area to the vendors area instead of having to go out of the room into the vendors area. They had good catering.
Yes.
The hot dogs were awesome.
Yes, they had hot dogs. They had nachos. I saw chicken strips.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. So that was pretty cool. They had a little flea market, which was also nice. I got to pick up some cool stuff at the flea market. So, you know, it's a small con. It's growing. They had 20% greater attendance this year than last year. So it's getting there. It's getting there. It's nothing like Conquest SAC, which is going to be way bigger. But it's getting there, and I think it's at the right time in the year. They're not up against a lot of other cons. The price was right. Everything was good about this con. So if you get a chance to check it out next year, you can visit conquestavalon.com. And obviously, it won't be updated for a little while now, but it was good con. What did you guys think?
I liked it.
Yeah, it was a good time.
I liked it. It was a good time. I actually liked the venue. The hotel was actually really nice.
The hotel was excellent.
It was really nice. Yeah. Plenty of parking.
Yep.
Didn't have to walk 25 miles to get there.
That's right. That's true. The restaurant was nice.
Yeah, the restaurant was nice.
Yep. So not only they have the catering.
Reasonable. The food was reasonable, too.
And reasonable prices on the food, which was nice to see. Yeah, it wasn't $35 for a plate of spaghetti. So that was pretty cool.
And those fried pickles, if you get a chance.
They had the fried pickles.
Yeah, those
were pretty good.
Yes.
So it was overall very nice. We had a chance to go out with Three Sages and take them out to dinner. And the dinner was really good. The service was good. It was, you know, it was a quiet restaurant, but there's some people off in the corner playing their games. And at that point, the game room was still going. And they were still running Pathfinder games. They were still running Dungeons & Dragons games. So,
yeah, because after dinner, we went back into the game room.
Yep,
and there was still
playing
going on.
On the RPG side, it was still going on heavy. Yeah. So that was pretty cool. So
it was nice that we got to go there and actually play some games for once.
Yeah, it wasn't completely work. Right.
Right.
That was kind of nice.
Right. It was nice. We had a good time. We played some Good Cop, Bad Cop.
Yep.
Wiz War.
Yep, Wiz War.
We had Ars Victor.
Ars Victor, that's right. It was a three-hour Wiz War game?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's because we have a tendency to... How do I want to say this? We don't actually go for the win.
No, you go to screw the other
guy.
Yeah,
we basically go just to screw the other guy. As badly as we can.
Right. We go to give him an Ars Vista.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we do. And that's why we love Ars Vista, because you get to really screw the other guy. That's the whole point of the game, right?
Yeah.
So that's we love those games.
Right. Shane was happy. Wasn't that his first win?
Yes.
His first win.
That's
right. That was his first win in Wiz War.
That's right. His first win. So
he was quite pleased.
Yeah. It was a good, nice, long game, and it was fun and strategic, and overall – you know, people came by and watched, but nobody was invasive, you know, or anything like that. Everybody was really nice.
Yeah, they were friendly.
Which is something I didn't get. You know, I mean, some of these larger cons, you get some really, you know, people who are kind of overbearing. All right, can I watch here? Let me sit down and pull up a chair. It's like, dude, you know, chill. It's my table, man. Mm-hmm. Didn't have any of that. Everybody's really polite. People who took pictures asked if they could take pictures, which I always do. I always ask, hey, do you mind? When I took pictures of Star Wars, I asked, do you mind if I take pictures? 99% of people don't mind. But if that one guy does, then I don't take a picture. You know, it's just kind of it's kind of courtesy, and everybody was very courteous. It was well run. Three Sages, I know, put in a lot of time into volunteering in this for Gabe, and it was very well run. There was no problems.
Yeah, it was well organized. I mean, registration was a breeze.
Registration was quick. The tables were all marked correctly, you know, didn't have any conflicting times on the tables. Everything was really well done.
And there was a lot of tables. I didn't expect this event to actually have as many gaming tables as it did.
Yeah, the RPG tables, I was really like, wow. And even at what did we leave, like 9 o'clock? At 9 o'clock, there was, what, 8 or 9 RPG tables still going full blast, full tables, eight players apiece. So I was like, huh, that's not bad. It's not bad. You know, it's not as big as some of the bigger cons, but it's not meant to be that. It's meant to be a...
Do you think we're there?
200, 300, I would think.
No,
there was
no,
more.
No,
than
no,
that.
No, there was more than that in just the game room.
I would say closer to 400.
Well,
yeah, I would guess over the weekend they probably got 600, 650 maybe.
Okay.
Oh, you know, throughout the
weekend.
I hope that's what they got. But It didn't matter. The room was the right size. There was plenty of room to move around, but it was crowded. There was a lot of noise going on. You could find games if you wanted to find games. They seemed to have a pretty healthy library of board games as well. So overall, excellent con. So to Three Sages, we say thank you. To Gabe, who puts on this con and Pacific Con, we also say thank you. The next step for this group of cons is Conquest Sacramento, the 10th anniversary. This is going to be a nice big one. So looking forward to that as well.
You are listening to San Francisco's number one internet radio station, FCC Free Radio. Radio for the people, by the people. FCC Free Radio is powered by Waywacked Radio Networks. The Little Black Egg, a great choice for your screen printing needs in the Bay Area. The Little Black Egg has experience and know-how when it comes to putting ink on garments. From t-shirts to tote bags, hoodies to hats, and everything in between. Competitive pricing, low minimums, and no maximums. San Francisco-based Little Black Egg can work with individuals and businesses, and can get the garment and brand you want. Need screen printing? Find us on Facebook, Twitter, or through our website, thelittleblackegg.com.
My little black egg. My little black egg.
Hi, I'm John Miller, founder and general manager of FCCFreeRadio.com. This is a showcase of some of the great programming here on FFR. Stay tuned.
Cool, we're going to get into it right now, so tell your friends we're here for one more hour to listen to us live. Otherwise, you can find us archived. Just check us on FCCFreeRadio.com, Studio 2B, The Cool Lounge. Here we go.
Real Rasta Vibration Show Fridays, you don't know the thing set. 7 to 10 p.m. on FCC Free Radio with Iris Selector, you don't know. Big up a cellfire. I say this is the reason I don't wanna go back where I'm coming from. The Rasta Vibration Show, they are playing reggae music for me. Yes.
You're listening to Bob's Radio Cafeteria, Saturdays 2 to 4 p.m. in Studio 2B on FCCFreeRadio.com. That was good. I like that one.
You are listening to FCC Free Radio, San Francisco's number one internet radio station. Make sure to tune in to the Unbound Sound Show, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. only on FCC Free Radio.
Gage.
Yeah?
Let's go to this drive-thru.
Oh, good. I'm starving.
Yeah.
Have your order?
Yeah, hold on a second. I'm looking at the menu.
Okay.
Would
you like special curly fries?
Please don't offer me anything. I'll tell you what I want.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You know how you have the 6-piece nuggets?
Okay.